I really appreciate everybody showing up. I thought that if we were going to be discussing level two stuff, that people would be elsewhere. I'm very, very pleased to see everybody's here. I also posted a handout. I found at the last minute, I posted this morning. If you go out to the page of the audio recordings, on there, there's a handout for the Tuckman model. It's probably the best one I've ever found because it's got so much in such a small piece, and I found it to be very, very helpful.
Thank you. When I read this, I made a mental note to look that up.
Now, in the Blay-On manual, chapter 22, where it talks about group development, on page 225, it's referencing Tuckman's model. But it's got a couple problems with it. It's a good start. But when you're working with groups, a big question that is important to ask is, what stage is that group mostly in? Because it's going to be a very dynamic process. And this is when I had heard about the model, but it really didn't sink in until I started working with COPE. Because I remember as a scoutmaster, something rather peculiar happened. I noticed after a couple of years of doing this that it really didn't matter what I had planned for that evening event if I didn't give the troop 5 to 10 minutes worth of forming time, they would take it. There would be a time when they would sit together and they would chat, and nothing I could do could pull their attention away from that. Then I realized that if I expected them to just dive into the meeting, that was really not fair. They needed that time to reconnect. Even though they had might have seen each other at school many times in the day, it was now in a different group, and they were reconnecting, resharing those past experiences, and then they would be ready to act.
And also, depending on the group and what's being asked of it, you may actually see shifting of roles that happen as you go from, I don't want to say task to task or event to event, but as the challenges change, you may see people who are uncomfortable in one setting become much more comfortable in another setting.
Can you provide an example of what you were referring to there, Larry?
Heights is a good one, because I've done heights with the Marine Corps on confidence courses and different things like that, and people who are very dynamic, very much in lead on the ground where they are in their comfort zone, when they get out of their comfort zone, tend to fall back into a follower scenario, depending on others to take charge where they are not comfortable. I saw that happen when we went from ground to heights, working in heights in the Marine Corps. I don't know if that happens often, but it was a 3-day activity, and it happened there.
Now, I've seen something like that. Well, I see something like that happen at least once a week during my work, where people are in a position where they suddenly realize that they're not the most competent in that situation, and they tend to fall back into what they're comfortable doing. And I think that's a form more of like the dealing with zones.
Okay.
Comfort zone, learning zone, whatever. But the forming, storming, norming, performing is related to that. But you bring up a good point. I need to think about that some more and how these two are interrelated. Because that challenging the people will certainly put a additional or a different vector upon this process of getting them to the stage of performing. So the material in that the stages model in the Blay-on is a good start, but what I would like everyone to do when you get a chance, go out and grab that handout that I've got there on the audio notes page. I've got a couple
200
links to
pages,
it.
right?
Pardon?
Over 200 pages long, I think I saw it.
Oh, the Blay-on manual is several hundred pages long. The handout I posted online is only two
Oh,
pages.
okay. All right.
And in that handout, it describes the forming,
Sam.
storming, norming.
Sam.
Trong phòng má có mấy cái.
Somebody's not on mute, please.
Má má đem đi anh chịu thôi. Con cái y chang giống như xe luôn.
We'll get it later.
Nóc của má đầy hết
The
trơn
with
á.
the
Bự không
stages,
cắt điện thoại nó
there's things to do,
mất công.
tasks.
Lâu điện lâu thử.
Like at the forming stage, the purpose of the forming stage is to establish that
Ông lấy
base
của em
level
đưa má đi anh nó cầm
expectations,
xong.
and then identify similarities. Agree on common goals. When I saw it took me a couple of years of working with it, but came to realize that what that refers to is in order to have a team, you've got to have common standards. You've got to have some shared values and so forth and so on. And in storming, one of the times I was presenting this class, one of the participants said, "Storming has just got such negative connotations." We kicked that one around and thought, "Yes, it certainly seems to, but it doesn't necessarily." That storming is where we're sharing, our understanding of what our values are.
Tony,
Yep.
I go back to the comment you just made that we have to have team members, group members have to have shared values. And I agree with that, but I think that they're concentric circles, and that where those circles meet, that's where the shared values have to come in. We do not expect for the all values be shared by every member, just the values that are required to get the job done.
Thank
I
you.
guess if I go further, and I'm taking an example from my former work, I worked with someone whose language was more colorful than I thought was required to get a job done. But the values that we shared were actually in getting the job done, getting the right equipment together, getting the right people together to perform the job, and then putting the right price tag on it. That was the common shared value. The other values or the other the values that we did not share were what was discussed over lunch, over the water cooler, after dinner at happy hour, etc. But the concentric circles, as I'm talking about, yes, I agree that the shared values within that concentric circle, where those concentric circles meet, they have to be shared. But we can get along and do with people's where the people live their lives, deal with things differently. As long as those values in that concentric circle are the same.
Are appropriate to the goals of that group or that team.
Yes, exactly. They have to be. You're right.
Thanks. That was a better way of putting what I was trying to get across. Now, the COPE course is a great place to help people understand this, particularly for those of you who've seen the Whale Watch. It's such a simple thing. It's just like a great big teeter-totter, really. But you give a group a challenge, particularly the type A individuals that we have running around here, and they're going to give about a couple minutes to the planning, and then they're executing. And it's really fun to see how that works with the members of the team who want to plan things out more. I don't know if I mentioned it to this group, but after I was a scoutmaster for a number of years, I retired to make way for the next group because my daughter had reminded me that my son had graduated, and the deal was that whatever he got to do as a Boy Scout, I would help her do, and the other members of her Girl Scout troop. So I became a Girl Scout leader. An objective that, or a characteristic of the Girl Scouts that got driven home repeatedly, was the difference between how girls would approach a problem from the way boys would approach a problem. Generally, girls, when given a challenge, will think about it, will determine what assets they've got available, what shared experience they've had, and then they will formulate a plan, then execute. Boys will tend to jump right into things. And that was something that the girls had mentioned that they had seen. And one of the reasons they thought it was the way it was is that boys had the physical strength, the experience to pretty much muscle through whatever the challenge might be. Girls, being less muscular, tended to have to think things through and look at what they might have that could help them accomplish the task. So when you have these two groups working together, that's really a storming opportunity. And when you can help them find that shared value where they overlap, then it's really fascinating watching what happens next, because suddenly now they're moving into the norming and they're starting to perform.
There's another difference between male and female that I have seen many times. In the Marines, again, I go back to that. When you're doing those confidence level courses that are very difficult, a male will freeze up and you have to literally pry them off to get them down. Females, again, this is broad spectrum, will cry, rant, vent their emotions, and then they will do it.
That must be a release of emotion.
We think it's because they are able to vent their emotions and frustrations and get it out there, talk to it. It then allows them to move forward. I don't know how much that deals with what we're doing in COPE, but I do know that that is something that you can take advantage of and help with the young women as you're working with them. Is it's not bad for them to express their fears as long as you're not pushing them into that panic zone.
So Larry, you're bringing up a good point. I wonder if one of the things that we should consider doing in our program is establishing early on that it's okay to express feelings.
Yeah.
And fear is being one of those.
Yeah. You heard me up on when I was on the wire. I'm scared to death up here.
Oh, is that what you were saying? Oh.
Yeah.
It was kind of noisy out there. Somebody kept bellowing.
Yeah. I have an acute sense of fear of heights.
Most people do. And that's one of the reasons, that's one of the purposes of the high elements, is to help people learn to manage that fear.
Yeah.
Because frequently the management of fear is suppression of it. And that we don't want, we really can't have people suppressing their feelings on the course, because if they do it on the course, chances are they're going to be doing it when they're in a place that's at a time and place that's not of their choice. And then you get, as you were describing, people freezing up. But anyway, let me move on. Anybody got any other comments at this point? Now, I'm hoping that...
No, not at all.
That, Jeff, I'm hoping to be able to get a Weeblos group and a young scout group out on the course to, with you, to to give you an idea of what this forming, storming, norming, performing is, or I would like to see it again at that age group. It's been a long time since I worked with them.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the concept from NYLT for sure. The boys, if they know it, actually realize they use it at the Boy Scout level.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we could find a group at some point of Weeblos to take out there and give us a run for our money.
Well, this one of the things I really, really enjoy about COPE is that opportunity to see how forming, storming, norming, and performing manifests itself. And watching to see how in a group, some members will be in a forming stage and others will be storming and others will be norming. And then becomes the question of, so what do we do as facilitators to help them all get to that norming stage? And that's when we tailor the games, we tailor the activities to that purpose. Now, for forming, what I've seen as a key indicator that forming is going on is when we're in a circle, or I'm sorry, when we've given a challenge and we have a group that members of that team that are hanging back listening to what others are doing and just following along. They're possibly clumping together with buddies or truddies. And they seem to be distracted. They're not fully engaged. Usually then the reason is if you stop and ask a question about what is the objective, they'll turn to someone else and look to them to state what the objective is. And they won't challenge it. And here's an opportunity to develop, to change the rules of a game, to ensure that everyone has to demonstrate that they understand what the objective is. And please, when you get a chance, I would like you to grab that handout that I put there. On the second page, it talks about what the stages are, and I'd like to hear what you think about some of those statements and the examples. Again, with other games, they're great about getting across the concept of storming, the importance of having storming. If storming hasn't happened, if we haven't defined what our shared values are, then at some point in time when we really can't afford to have this disunity, that's when it will occur. So it's very important to ensure that the storming has taken place. Now the norming comes in to where now there is still a leader, there is still someone serving in the position of a leader, helping ensure that that group is becoming a team. They've discovered what their different skills are and how they work together. They know what their individual roles are, and they still need someone defining what that vision, what that objective, what done needs to look like. And what's really awesome is when now everybody in that group knows what the objective is, they can articulate it, it's the same objective, they're working towards that goal, and if you ever ask, where's the leader, they'll kind of look around and they might point at someone, but that leadership changes, shifts in a very dynamic way. And that is really, truly an awesome situation to watch. And I've been honored to be present out in a COPE course where that has happened. It's an awesome thing. It's a lot of fun. I hope everyone has had a chance to see that. And if you don't, please stick with the program, and you will.
Tony, quick story.
Please.
Several years ago, my son must have been 16 years old, captain of the drum line. And he's not one for losing his temper, but he is banging on the kitchen countertop, just having a fit about they're stuck in the storming phase, Dad. I'm hearing him, Norman. And he's going through the whole thing, and he's just so frustrated. And my wife comes around the corner and says, isn't that NYLT stuff? And I was so impressed that he knew where he was. He knew where he was trying to get to. And he had the formula. He had it all in his head. And it was like a wonderful moment where it all clicked. And we're like, wow, these kids actually get the process. It was pretty impressive.
Yep. And that's why we've got NYLT. We've got some great training. But what I would suggest is the COPE course is a place where they can come out and practice that. But we don't tell them that necessarily. We tell them that it's time to come out and play games. And then we as adults can organize the games and set them up so that that experience happens on a recurring basis. Anyway, what the Blay-On manual has a note at the end. As a cautionary note, some teams may never get out of the forming and or storming stages. As a facilitator, you should be prepared with processing questions to help them through this stage. Additionally, it would be helpful to have prepared some, quote, easier tasks, unquote, that you can go back to so they become successful with the earlier stages of development. I have been in some of those situations where a group of scouts have come out for a full day of COPE, and they have continually struggled at that forming and storming stage. And in many cases, it's because they come in with a mental model, a mental hierarchical model, where they look to their elected leaders as those who are solely responsible for the success of their group. And that is really, really a tough thing to break. Hey, what's the plan? Well, they're the leaders. They need to tell us. They need to convince us. They need to motivate us. Boy, that is a really unhealthy situation. I mean, organizationally unhealthy. And perhaps you've worked in some businesses or work groups where they've had that same type of attitude, same type of perspective. Some of the materials that I've got, hopefully this, if nothing else that we've talked about in all these sessions, hopefully this is something you'll be able to use everywhere. Like Jeff, your son used it at school. And your wife picked up on it, and she was apparently instrumental for tipping his mental model over the edge and helping him realize that he knew the answer, he just forgot how to apply it.
Yeah. Well, I was just amazing to see that how it did stick with him, and that those values and that system. He knew, what he had to do and implement it.
Mm-hmm. Over the past couple of years, I've been applying this Tuckman model, plus there's other materials, some really good stuff. I've been applying it at work. Years and years ago, when I first started working in COPE, I had also run into a number of books on management, one of which was about the value of, or the importance and role of, a first-line manager. And then it hit me. There are some things that a first-line manager is expected to do. It's their job to do. But what if they don't do it? Well, what would happen if it still got done? What's the purpose of this work group? The basic need of an employee is to know what is my job? What am I here to do? Well, if the manager isn't telling them, what would happen if someone else provided that insight, that perspective? And that worked out pretty well. Suddenly, my coworkers felt pretty good about what they were doing because someone happened to mention, I think our manager thinks that your job is to do this and your job is to do that. Things started working out pretty well. And then when we get together, we go through, would make sure that forming was done. Hey, how have you been? Been a long time since I've seen you. How's the family? What's on your mind? And then we would, once we get through that stage, talk about what the important things are. And then we get focused on the objective. But anyway, the Tuckman stuff, the Tuckman model has been very useful. If someone sees other models that are working for them, I would like to know more about it. Larry, thank you very much for that thought about, now, how does fear and getting into areas of lack of competency roll into the, or affect this? I'll have to look into that.
No worries.
Wow. Any comments, thoughts at this time? This is basically all that I wanted to accomplish today, because this is very important material. I have found this model to be very, very useful to me. And I would like to hear what your thoughts are, because this is pretty much all I've got for this evening. So we're going to give you 28 minutes back.
Well, thank you.
I like the model you have. I found a couple other ones. They're still all Tuckman. There are, if people are interested, you can look online and you can see people's different perspectives, and I'm going to find several of them and just see how people look at it and work through the issues of what it really works through. I think I need that to understand it better. That's just my perspective as an opening gambit.
Now, Larry, you also are a teacher at one of the local colleges.
That is correct.
I'd be very interested if how the Tuckman model would apply to your class, thinking of your class as possibly as a team. They come to you as a group of individuals.
One of the things, this is the difficulty in the subject that I teach. I teach programming, introductory level programming, and in that I try to break up the teams.
Okay. So, but you do have teams though, correct? Or do you have everyone's an individual?
They come in with preconceived teams and they try to work together, and I try to break them apart. Because while it works well in team dynamics, and actually this is good to see how the Tuckman relates to that, while it works in team dynamics, well, one person can do something really well and another person can do something really well, when we're talking about education and development, we really try to prevent one person from becoming an expert and being the person that knows how to do one thing while the other team members do something else, because they will not continue to be team members when they leave the class.
Good point. So this gets back, I mean, that's a good perspective. I need to make sure that as we move forward with the COPE programs, that that becomes a factor that the level two or director level person checks out when that unit leader or whoever is contacting them for a session needs to make sure that, you know, is this objective to get this group of people interdependent upon each other? Or is it more important to ensure that everyone has at least a minimal level of competency in all the areas that we're going to touch?
That's an excellent point, Tony, because if you're trying to build a team to work together, those are different dynamics and different ways to think through things than if you put them independent individuals. That's tough.
When I was a scoutmaster and was focused on everybody needs to be able to do everything, my scouts pretty much rebelled against that. He said, look, we understand the importance of cooking and fire building and so forth, but forcing us to take lead on every one of those, we don't want to do that, because Cody is our is our quartermaster chef. Whenever there's food to be done, we just say, Cody, do it. He does it. Derek is our fire builder. Derek, we need a fire. Next thing we know, he's got a bonfire ready to go. And so on and so forth. They clicked as a unit that way. But for them, it worked. It wasn't necessary that everyone learn the same skills to the same level of detail. But they learned it enough to know how good someone who is an expert in it was, because they had had a sample of it.
And there was room for them to grow as their skills and needs changed, because it's a long-term process.
Yeah. So now everybody on this call has different expectations of what they want to accomplish with the course. So hopefully this gives them some ideas about how we can tailor the program to meet the interests and needs of their groups.